Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
We're now 73 days away to the Rio Olympics in Brazil. Kenya and the United States are both expected to win medals on the track in Rio de Janeiro. But to book a ticket to Rio 2016, the Kenyan and the American athletes must first qualify at their country's respective Olympic track and field trials. Athletics Kenya will hold its Olympic trials on June 29th in the capital, Nairobi. And USA Track and Field will stage its Olympic trials between July 1st and July 10th in the northwestern U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. One Kenyan athlete who will be competing in Nairobi next month is Lynette Masai, who is hoping to qualify for her second Olympics in the women's 10,000 meters race. At the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, Lynette, then 18 years old, just missed winning a medal, finishing fourth in the final. Her time of 30 minutes and 26.50 seconds was a world junior record as well as a Kenyan national record. While the national record was later broken, Masai's junior record still stands. Lynette competed this past weekend in London, as we hear now from the energetic Andy Edwards.
Lynette Masai chose a special occasion to attack her favorite distance. The setting was a breezy summer night on North London's Hampstead Heath, home of the local club Highgate Harriers. In recent years, they've staged the British 10,000-metre championships with real style, including live music and allowing spectators to stand outside lane 3 of the track. They also set up a bar for spectators, not runners, around an improvised pavilion on one of the straights. They create an atmosphere both intense and fun. Visiting athletes such as Lynette Masai have enjoyed it as much as the fans.
Yeah, it felt so special because there were people cheering us all around, the runners. It was a good company to run with.
As far as her ambition on the night went, the 2009 world champion was a touch disappointed. She led for much of the race, which was overhauled by Britain's Jess Andrews, who achieved the best win of her career. Masai finished runner-up and just outside 32 minutes. Good, but not quite good enough. She knows she'll need to race again to boost her Olympic prospects.
Now, you know, if you qualify for Rio Olympics, you know, in Kenya, you have to be in the top three so that you can be selected. And there is, it is like 1 month from now, so I still have time to work on it.
If she doesn't make the team for Rio on the track, her form on the roads suggests that a move to the marathon will not be far off. In March this year, she ran a solid 69 metres 33 for the Lisbon Half Marathon in Portugal, and the marathon is where her ultimate ambition lies.
For me, finishing in the marathon race will be a fantastic, and that is where my career will end.
But for the moment, it's very much the track and 10,000 metres that is your focus.
Yeah, my focus now is 10,000 metres.
With a month remaining before the Kenyan selectors name their final team for Rio, she still has time. And the Highgate night and 10,000-metre racing will continue to stage a brand of athletics which will appeal across the generations. For the sunny side of sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. Joining us now from Rio de Janeiro with an update on the city's Olympic preparations is our friend Luis Piazet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny.
Nearly only 2 months for the Olympics in Rio, and the preparations now accounts for 43 test events. We went over each one and found out that all of them presented problems to solve in all the 33 sports and operational venues tested. They can be summarized in 4 major areas: security, mobility, pollution, and, among others, electricity. Some of the competition tests were interrupted because of energy blackouts. In the last 5 days, 5 Olympic national teams experienced the vulnerability of the security in Rio. Last Wednesday, while preparing to take their boats on the water for training session, Denmark, British, Irish, and New Zealand teams had to seek shelter within the yacht club because a severe shooting between police and drug dealers in the slam in front of the club. This slam is called Morro do Cavalão, with a population of more than 3,000 people, and occupies an area between the two neighborhoods with the biggest real estate value per square meter, Icaraí and São Francisco in Niterói, the city opposite side of Rio in the Guanabara Bay, where sailors will also face dead animals, logs of wood, plastics, and all sorts of waste floating on the water. On Saturday morning, going out for breakfast on foot, the Spanish Nacra 17 sailing team, Fernando Chevarri and Tara Pacheco, with their coach Santi Lopez Vasquez, were assaulted by 5 underage boys armed with pistols. All their belongings and money had been taken. Fernando Chevarri said to the newspaper O Globo that it was the second time he was assaulted in the streets of Rio. The Spanish team rented an apartment in a traditional tourist point, Santa Teresa, one of the ways to the statue of Cristo Redentor. The hills in the central area of Rio, next to a couple of upper-class neighborhoods, as well as surrounded by 4 of the most dangerous slums out of 700 existing in Rio de Janeiro. More than 20% of Rio's population lives in slums, favelas. The authorities and organizers of the Olympics keep saying that during the Games, the city will be in a security military lockdown, inviting one to believe the Games are reduced to only 17 days for national and international delegations as well as for tourists. We tried to hear from the Rio's 2016 communication director about the latest on the preparations for the Olympics, but his assistant replied several times he was too busy to answer a phone call. In the meantime, last Friday, the president of the Rio Olympic Committee, Carlos Arthur Nussmann, proudly announced in the press meeting the unleash of the first batch of tickets for the Games and the news that 67% are already sold. I am Luis Piazet for the Sunny Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
The Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Golf news now on the Voice of America. Local favorite Rory McIlroy, currently ranked 3rd in the world, won the Irish Open by 3 shots over the weekend. Bradley Dredge of Wales and Russell Knox of Scotland tied for 2nd place. It was an emotional victory for McIlroy, as we hear now from reporter Nick Dye.
He's won in some style and with a rare display of emotion, almost tearful, finishing in front of 25,000 home supporters to become the first Irish winner of the event in 7 years. It had been a thrilling tussle with Russell Knox, but McIlroy birdied 16 as Knox missed a short par putt, and the world number three arrowed one of his best ever shots into the par 5 18th to set up a tap-in eagle. He acknowledges he's won on the world's biggest stages, but says he never felt pressure like he did in this final round.
I've won on the world's biggest stages, but I don't think I've ever felt pressure like I felt out there today. I was trying so hard because you only come home once every year to play in front of your home fans, so you don't get the opportunity that often. And you're going out with a three-shot lead. I knew I had to play well today, and I felt like it was slipping away a little bit on the back nine, but that finish today, I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
Well, that's an exceptional and stylish finish, isn't it, to close out what had become a wonderful tussle with Russell Knox?
Yeah, I mean, all credit to Russell as well, birding 14 and 15 and going from one behind to one ahead. 14 and 15 are two of the toughest holes on the course. You know, he played a really, really good round of golf, and I knew coming into those last three holes that my length would... it would be to my advantage, and I didn't expect to go for the green on 16 and 2, but I hit such a good drive up there. It was, I only had 240 yards to the front of the green, so I thought this was my chance. It was my chance to take it on, and it paid off, thankfully.
And that reception was something else, wasn't it?
The ovation I got when I hit the green on 16, and then obviously the shot at the last, it's amazing. To win your home open is very special, and to do it in that style. Hopefully I get to experience it again, but if not, I'm really going to savour this one and really enjoy it.
It's probably rude for the host to win, but so many people benefit from this week, don't they?
Exactly, yeah. the foundation, it's been fantastic. Before today, we'd already raised over €500,000, and then with the prize money that I earned, that goes to the foundation for me today, I mean, we broke the €1 million mark this week, which is absolutely incredible. And, it goes to so many kids that are in need, and it'll hopefully make their lives a little bit better. But, I'm very satisfied with how I played, obviously. But I think the big satisfaction comes in knowing that my golf this week has helped out a whole lot of people.
The €660,000+ first prize goes to the Rory Foundation and hence to three children's charities in the Dublin area. It's McIlroy's 13th European Tour success.
Nick Dye reporting from Strafford, County Kildare, west of Dublin. I mentioned how Irish star Rory McIlroy is currently ranked number 3 in the world golf rankings. American Jordan Spieth is number 2. And Australia's Jason Day is currently ranked number 1 in the world. In honor of Rory McIlroy's victory at the Irish Open, we'll hear now from another Irishman who used to tune in the Voice of America during his adolescent years.
Voice of America!
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Tuesday night when the Oklahoma City Thunder will host the defending champion Golden State Warriors in Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. The Thunder leads the best-of-seven series 2-1 after storming past the Warriors in Game 3, 133-105. In addition to trying to figure out how to bounce back from that lopsided 28-point loss, the Warriors also spent Monday waiting to see if All-Star forward Draymond Green would be suspended for his kick to the groin of Oklahoma City Thunder center Steven Adams during Game 3. Green was fined $25,000, but he will be allowed to play in Game 4 tonight. However, if Draymond Green gets another flagrant foul during the remainder of the NBA playoffs, he'll receive an automatic one-game suspension. In NBA playoff action Monday night, the Toronto Raptors beat the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers 105-99 to even the Eastern Conference Finals at two games each. Toronto's all-star backcourt of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan both turned in all-star performances. Lowry fired in a game-high 35 points, while DeRozan had 32 points. After losing the first two games of the series in Cleveland, the Raptors have rallied with two victories in Toronto. Talk to us, Kyle Lowry.
Coming to a situation where, you know, down 0-2, you know, they did what they were supposed to do on their home floor, and we had an opportunity to do what we could, what we had to do on our home floor. So, you know, we got to go into halftime close. You know, we can't let them get into one of those big runs. We have to continue to make sure that, you know, when they punch, we punch back. And if they punch three times, we punch four times. You know, we got to continue to understand that they're not going to just lay down. They're going to continue to go push, 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 but we ain't laying down either.
Kyle Lowry's head coach is Dwayne Casey. Coach Casey talks about some of the adjustments Toronto has made.
We figured out a little bit. I think just understanding where we could get shots, how we could get stops. I thought we protected the paint better. You got to have a balance of what you want to take away, and you got to pick your poison. And I thought that was huge on the defensive end. Offensively, we had a good balance between attacking the paint and also we're making shots. It's a make or miss league, and I think our home rims are good to us. Now we got to find those on the road.
Coach Dwayne Casey and the Raptors now hit the road for Game 5, which will be played Wednesday night in Cleveland, Ohio. And speaking of the Raptors, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Tracy McGrady, who is celebrating his 37th birthday today, Tuesday. Tracy entered the NBA right out of high school after being selected by the Raptors in the 1997 NBA draft. McGrady was a two-time NBA scoring champion and a seven-time NBA All-Star. In addition to Toronto, Tracy McGrady also played for the Orlando Magic, the Houston Rockets, the New York Knicks, the Detroit Pistons, the Atlanta Hawks, and the San Antonio Spurs. And during the 2012-2013 season, Tracy took his talents to China, of all places, and he played for the Qingdao Double Star Eagles. And one more Sunny Side of Sports birthday shout-out. Happy birthday to James Buddy, my nearby cubicle colleague and the host of the Voice of America's Daybreak Africa radio show. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Tuesday?
Well, there's a lot of things trending, so we'll try to tick through them all quickly because there's a lot of different things we're seeing on social media. Starting with Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors. Of course, that kick.
Ouch,
that was the consensus on social media, and a lot of people having a lot of fun with some of the memes from that photo when he was kicking Steven Adams of Oklahoma City. But there's a lot of chatter about what's going to happen in tonight's game between these two players. Of course, Draymond Green will be on the floor, not suspended for tonight's game. So there's a lot of questions about how he might face some retaliation from Steven Adams, if he might kick him again, in which case he'll be out because one more flagrant foul and he is suspended. There's a lot of interest in the back and forth between these two players.
Interesting, and pretty much a must-win for Golden State. I mean, they'll have their backs to the wall if they lose tonight.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people saying on social media. Not only, you know, that, but in the East, too, with the Cavs and the Raptors tied up 2-2. That's very surprising for a lot of people expecting the Cavaliers to run away with it. I think myself included, I was thinking they were just going to sweep in four games, and that is certainly not the case.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports.
I was perusing my Facebook feed, Andrew, and I came across an interesting handwritten letter by none other than Andre Agassi, the retired American tennis star. And Andre titled his post, "Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. Post your letter to Rafa Nadal at Nike Paris." Nike, I guess, is Rafa's sponsor. And he hashtags it, "Vamos Rafa, Vamos Rafa." But I'll read it quickly. It's a short letter. Andre writes, "Rafa, it took me most of my career to accomplish the Herculean task of winning the French Open one time. Watching you attempt it to win it for the 10th time is not only remarkable, it's inspiring. You make me believe in life that anything is achievable and nothing is impossible." And I want to point out, Andrew, he didn't text it, he didn't tweet it, he didn't email it. He picked up some paper and pen and he hand wrote that letter.
And then he took a picture of it and put it on Facebook. So it's even, you know, social media, even when it's pen and paper, social media still gets involved. But no, we're seeing a lot of these things with the sponsors, Nike and Adidas, surrounding the French Open, supporting a lot of their players. Nike is doing this campaign because, of course, Rafa is one of their athletes that they are sponsoring, and of course going for his 10th French Open. Cruised through his first round match 6-1, 6-1, 6-1. No problem getting in the second round and on his way, hopefully for him, to win a 10th French Open. But Adidas is getting a lot of flack actually on social media because they dressed all of their players in this, what is charitably being described as kind of a zebra print. It's this black and white odd striped kind of thing. The men and women both wearing that.
Like so a referee might wear?
Yeah, so there's getting a lot of comparisons to referees, sporting referees. They're getting comparisons to zebras. So maybe a fashion miss for Adidas.
faux pas.
Fashion faux pas for Adidas. And a bit of a faux pas on the court for Angelique Kerber, the number three women's player. She is out after the first round. Of course, Angelique Kerber won the Australian Open, beating Serena Williams in the final in that tournament. Well, she's out in the first round.
Maybe the biggest upset victim so far?
Thus far, yeah. She's the highest seeded player to be out, men or women. Andy Murray almost was the highest seeded player as the number two player in the tournament, but he squeaked by five sets, barely won, got out of his first round match. So perhaps a rough road ahead for him, but a lot of interest in the French Open on social media. And then from tennis, we now go to baseball. So we're covering all the sports there. We got basketball, we got tennis, we got baseball. We go to baseball. Ryan Vogelsong, he's a player for the Pittsburgh Pirates, was hit in the face with a 92-mile-per-hour fastball during a game yesterday. And we saw this moment play out again and again and again on social media with the looping video and the photos, and it's really a scary scene. He gets hit in the face with this ball and just crumples at the home plate.
Was he injured?
He was. He broke his orbital bone right around his eye, and they said there might be some injury to his eye, but word from his wife on social media that he is going to be okay. But really scary moment. And again, with social media, we see these moments play out again and again. I remember, you know, what was it, several years ago when the Louisville basketball player, was it Kevin Ware, is that his name?
That's right, I think Ware.
Broke his leg during the game and had his compound fracture where the bone actually came out of his leg, and you saw that repeated and played again. And it's, you know, so it's really scary moments when these players get hurt and unfortunately they get cataloged in social media. But thankfully, Ryan Vogelsong looks like he'll be making a recovery and hopefully returning to the game soon.
Yeah, that'd be good to see him back up there at the plate. But, yeah, scary when they can throw the ball that hard and that fast.
Yeah, it's inundated with these images where everybody's covering it on social media. And then finally, to the world of horse racing, we go for Nyquist. Of course, won the Kentucky Derby, was going for the Triple Crown in his ninth race. He had won 8 out of 8. He was in his ninth at the Preakness and lost. Well, now they've announced that he will not be running in the final jewel of the Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes. Apparently, he has a fever and a high white blood cell count. So there's no rematch between Exaggerator and Nyquist. A lot of people after the Preakness said, well, there's not going to be a Triple Crown, but at least we could see who of these two horses can maybe come away with this last bit. And that was, I think, NBC here in the U.S., which airs the Triple Crown races. They were kind of hyping that. Well, now that's not going to happen. So I'm sure they're not happy. The sponsors aren't happy. Nyquist trainers and owners aren't happy, so unfortunate news out of the horse racing world, but we'll see if it's an exciting race nonetheless.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up the May 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Bill Barber, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Ethiopia is facing the worst drought the country has experienced in half a century. Triggered by El Niño, the drought follows two consecutive poor harvests, a disaster in this country of 90 million people, where the vast majority subsist on rain-dependent agriculture. In the worst-hit areas, the drought has killed nearly all crops. Failed crops means little food for people and no fodder for livestock, causing cattle to die by the hundreds of thousands. And then in April, torrential rains began to drench the cement-hard soil of the parched Ethiopian countryside, causing flooding and displacing thousands of people. Today, some 10 to 20 million Ethiopians are in need of aid. An estimated 435,000 children need treatment for severe acute malnutrition, and up to 2.5 million children, pregnant women, and nursing mothers are in need of supplementary feeding. The United States announced that it is adding $128 million to the more than $570 million we have already delivered to Ethiopia, said Acting Assistant Administrator for the Bureau of Democracy, Conflict, and Humanitarian Affairs, Thomas Stahl. This new funding underscores the United States' commitment to working with Ethiopia to prevent this drought from becoming a humanitarian catastrophe, he said. The funds will provide fundamental humanitarian aid, including relief, food assistance, safe drinking water, malnutrition treatment, mobile health teams, and seeds for planting. This contribution supports the food requirement needed for the next three critical months. But so much more is needed. Ethiopia has requested aid to the tune of $1.4 billion. The United States is delivering vitally important humanitarian aid to the Ethiopian people, and we call on our friends and partners to join us in alleviating this potential humanitarian disaster.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing. So definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. Also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on The Voice of America.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. Bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.